بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You tune into Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. This morning we're talking about helping children overcome their fears. Now, often as adults, when children do display symptoms of fear, we often dismiss it, telling them that you're being naughty, don't be silly, everything's going to be okay, stop worrying about it, ignore it. And those are things that children really don't need to listen to. We have no idea what types of fears children experience, the extent of anxiety that can be caused if these fears are not overcome. And what we need to do, like I said, always that I say this, this is a reminder firstly for myself as an educator, as well as for parents and community members and family members, of how we can assist children come down to their level and understand what is it that could be bothering them and helping them to overcome their fears. So this morning, my guests are Sister Shaiz Prime, who is a life coach and motivational speaker from Benoni, and we also have Sister Zakira Mohammed, who is an educational psychologist from Cyril Dean, and she will be joining us a little later. So, Sister Shaiza Ibrahim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And it is such a pleasure to be with you this morning today.
Finally, we managed to get to make the time so we could have you on show with us. So I need to...
This is still long in the making.
We also, we're inviting our listeners to please call us on 011-854-1548. If you are a teenager who is experiencing something right now that you're very uncomfortable with, you're welcome to call us and tell us how you're dealing with it. If you have overcome something, please tell us what you've done. If you are a parent and you have a concern about your child having fear over any issue or matter, please do feel free to call us. Our lines are open on 011-854-1548. Now, Shaiza, and to the listeners, I have to say this on air today. One of my biggest childhood fears was my fear for swimming. You know, we often go on holiday to Durban, to the beach, and to various beautiful hotels, and I would just sit near the water and just look at the water or sit in the very, very shallow end, but I'm petrified of swimming. I don't know if, you know, it can be a possibility that sometimes we mirror some of the fears that maybe our parents have, because I know my mom's petrified of water as well. But alhamdulillah, last year, I managed to overcome this fear, and when I just got into the water, I told myself, this was my motivation. Listen, Bibi Aisha, swimming is a sunnah sport. Swimming is a sunnah sport. So think about this. You are overcoming your fear and you are learning a sunnah. So alhamdulillah, that was my motivation. And shukr alhamdulillah, as an adult woman, I overcame my fear of swimming.
Alhamdulillah. Hasn't it beautiful that you actually took the first step? And that's what it is. It's that first step, you know, of really saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm going to do, and seeing it through. So the first step is the one that I think is the most important.
Okay, but remember, I'm an adult, and it took a very, very, very long time to reach this point where I said, no, I can't do this. I can't keep running away from the water. I need to do what I need to do. But now we're talking about children today, young children, teenagers, who are experiencing so many challenges today. You know, like we always say, that they are faced with so many obstacles in today's time, and they're very young. They don't have the ability to deal with a lot of these issues. So for parents and educators and family members, what can we do to help children overcome their fears?
Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The most important thing is to, firstly, to accept that your child has a fear. I think every parent wants their child to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they need to be, you know, good at everything, and whatever the parents say, they should just accept and they should do. So the very first step is to, for a parent to be accepting of the fact that the child has a fear. If once you've accepted that the child has a fear, then you have all the steps that you can do. So number one is don't ridicule it. Because we're looking at it from a parent's point of view. And as a parent, it makes no sense for a child, for example, be scared of maybe, you know, what's lurking under the bed. Because that's a very common fear amongst kids. I don't know what's under my bed. Mm-hmm. And when they're little, you know, it obviously depends on the ages of children. So a certain child at a certain age will have that fear that I'm not sure what's in my room, or I'm scared of the dark, or even I don't even want to open my cupboard because I'm not sure what could come out of that. Because their imaginations, they, you know, create this whole idea of ghosts and friends, and, you know, their imagination's so wild. So it's very possible that they're scared of that. So parents need to firstly have a lot of patience, and accept that that's okay to have a fear. And then, you know, they need to learn lead by example. So it's necessary for parents to actually show children how they can, you know, overcome it. So it's again like putting the light on, let's open the cupboard door, let me peep inside, let me see if it's safe for you, let me open the door for you, have a look inside, do you feel better? Give the child a hug and say, you know, you're so brave, I'm so glad you came to me, I'm so glad that I could help you. So again, the children need support. They never need to be made stupid or ridiculed because it does not make sense to us. You know, as parents, we love to say, that's so ridiculous, that's so stupid. I mean, what is wrong with you? You're so big. How could you even think that way?
Yes.
And we dismiss it. But the more we dismiss it, the more they think about it, the bigger it becomes in their mind, and then we have a bigger problem to deal with later on.
But I think before we come into dealing with the actual fear, you know, not all children will just come up straight out and say, I am scared of this. Obviously, they're going to display various symptoms, or, you know, there's going to be gestures that they're going to be making. You can see some physical activity going on with them where you can see that this child is expressing fear. And not all fear is obvious. I would assume, like, with very young children, bedwetting, biting their nails, when you ask them to do something and they always say no, they could be afraid of that particular activity and looking for excuses to not do it.
Yes, that is very possible. You know, the thing is, remember, the brain will not want to find a solution. As much as the brain is terrified and the child is terrified, it's more work for a brain to actually acknowledge that there's not a problem and to change its way. So sometimes kids actually want to handle that fear and be in it because it's easier than what is the solution, what if it takes more effort. The brain does not like work, generally. You know, that's why people will sit with a problem for years before they actually come, go to somebody for help. So the kids are the same way, and then they start out their parents. You know, if they know the parents are unapproachable, their parents are people that who've looked at them, you know, ridiculed them in the past or anything of that sort, there's kind of a difficulty to approach. So kids will live with this for a long time. They would display symptoms of it, but not outrightly come forward. So parents need to be aware. They need to watch the behavior. They need to be in tune with their children and actually try and help them, even if they don't get approached by the kids. They need to take the lead. They need to lead by example. They need to do little exercises that actually build the children's confidence. Because all of those things really play a huge part in trying to overcome any fear.
Okay, and I think also a very important point that you mentioned is do not ridicule your child's fear. I mean, sometimes, you know, you get children who are afraid of balloons. If the balloon bursts in front of you and you're afraid of that sound, you get children who will never touch a balloon again. Even with dogs, I would think, you know, not many children are afraid of dogs. I mean, lots and lots of possibilities of what could cause fear in young children. So also, like, you know, what you're saying is very important that a parent or a caregiver, even educators, don't dismiss that fear. Because to us, it may seem something so silly and trivial, but to their child, you know, we have no idea what is going on inside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is, you know, it's very funny because there was, while I was actually just doing some research of this, it is amazing of what percentage of children actually have fear of dogs. I mean, firstly, you know, it's missing people, we really do, because we're not accustomed to having dogs in our house. So we wouldn't approach a dog like any other person would because they kind of know the behavior and the patterns and they really don't have the fear. So it's amazing. There was something like 72% of children that actually have a fear of dogs. And as a mum, and I can tell you now, I still have a fear. I mean, it really is, it can be a little poodle that just barks, and I would prefer to sit in the car until that dog is taken away and put in the bag. So, yes, there's nothing unusual about any fear. Again, we need to remember that every child is an individual, and whatever is important to them, we may not feel the same about it. Or the funny thing is, our siblings may not feel the same about certain things. Again, fears are actually displayed in children because sometimes they pass through from parents into child. Remember, kids don't know the difference when they're born that, you know, they pet a dog and they pet a cat and they pet anything that comes away because they don't know any better. We as parents say, no, don't touch. It can bark or it can bite your hand. And we do the little, no, don't touch that, or don't go there, or don't do
this. So big possibility that, you know, children can mirror their parents' fears.
Absolutely. And the thing is, we've passed on the, what we fear, we've instilled the same fear into our kids because they, obviously, we haven't overcome our fear. And the fear is that our kids may suffer whatever the consequences are of our own fear.
Now, we're talking about, you were saying?
So we need to work on ourselves as well. But it doesn't make sense for you to tell your child, don't be scared of the dog, example, if you're looking at it. If I had a child and say, don't be afraid of the dog, but then I'm sitting in the car.
Exactly. Obviously they learn more from what we do.
If you do something of that sort, you're going to have to display bravery on your part so the child learns to trust. Because a child will only start trusting a parent if they display behavior. Otherwise, the child says, no, mommy, but you just said that, but last time you did this, and you didn't listen, and you didn't be, you didn't do anything to, for me. They're kind of very intuitive, and they remember these things. And trust is the first thing. I mean, if you look at a baby, an infant, once it recognizes the faces of parents, the minute an aunt wants to take the child, I mean, they just look at the face and there's no trust in who are you? You're not my mother, you're not anybody that I recognize, and the child doesn't feel supported, it doesn't feel comfortable, and starts to cry. And immediately the auntie gives the child back to the mother, and the baby's fine. So it's about trust, and they have this instinct with them from baby.
That is true. Now, when you talk about even, older children, sometimes it's much harder to pick up fears when we're talking about, teenagers. And there's so many possible causes for fear. We live in a country where we're told about danger all the time, where we witness so much of crime happening. So I think with that, every one of us is on edge at some point of the day. And, obviously we put our trust in Allah, but we also have to take precaution. But aside from that, we spoke about possible fears in children, but, very important as well for teenagers, bullying, causes fear, cyberbullying, exams, trauma, if there was an accident, death of a loved one, illness, blended families, step-parenting, if parents, have arguments a lot at home, sometimes that feeling of insecurity can also cause a lot of fear in children.
Absolutely, absolutely. Remember, kids need stability. The bottom line is kids need routine, they need stability. And anything that affects that is going to rattle a child to an extent that they're going to develop a fear of something or the other. If we have a parent who constantly fight, example, and this is something that is happening a lot these days, some parents can actually confine it to the bedroom, and then kids feel fine because they know mommy and daddy are not really talking, but they're not hearing what it is they're talking about or the language that flies around. So generally there's a little bit of stability. And the minute parents come and say, go and tell your father this, go and tell your father that, says immediately kids know these days, a friend of mine's parents divorced. What if my parents divorced? They look at their friends and they say, okay, so their parents are living separately now at the moment, and this poor child is going through so much of difficulty, he's not concentrating in school. What happens if that happens here? Also, a lot of the fear is, am I causing the trouble? Because that's the first thing that goes through the mind. What if I was a bad child? Because yesterday, mommy shouted at me, and she got so frustrated with me, and today she's fighting with daddy. So what if I'm responsible? And I've seen kids that have come to the office and they actually hold on to this. I caused my parents divorce, or I caused them to separate, I caused them to fight. And do you know what a hectic fear that is to actually live with? And they carry that for years, and their parents don't know. They become rebellious, they become irritable, mother says something because they don't know how to deal with it. And they don't want to talk about it, they just hold it back. And then they become this different child that we knew. All of a sudden, grades are dropping, doesn't want to talk to us, sits in the room all the time, on his cell phone, on her cell phone. So, so we see a pattern of behavior, and some parents think it's that's normal, maybe it's just teenage years, but parents need to sit down and say, okay, so I see things are not good between us, tell me, I really promise, I will not judge you, I will not say anything regarding this, I will not bring it up, I won't make you feel bad, I promise, I just need you to open up to me. And that's when kids feel, okay, it's fine, to talk to parents. Also, we know when it's moving town, sometimes a lot of
kids
go through, I need to move to another town, I need to go to a new school, I need to make new friends. Sometimes it's not about just making friends in a new town, it's the next grade. I know parents whose mom said, last year I wish this class wasn't changed. I wish the same class of last year could move because my daughter is now getting, it's already end of Feb, where we're in March now, and she doesn't have any friends. She's still sitting alone, break time, which is sad, which is really sad because, school's supposed to be your best age. You're supposed to be making friends because kids are supposed to be easy. But unfortunately, it's not. The fear of, will I able to cope in the next grade? Will I able to make friends? The thing is, there are so many different fears besides, you know, when they're small, it's a few of bugs and
yes.
You know,
getting really an injection. I know lots of children, even adults, sometimes fear that.
Yes, exactly. We have to some extent.
I mean, if you tell a child, I'm taking you to the doctor, you'll just see those eyes light. Well, not light up. Those eyes look like in horror. Like, no, but I'm not sick anymore. I'm better now.
Exactly. They just see the needle and then they start screaming. And then forever, you need to do the medication and you mention the doctor's, you know, just the doctor, and then they would run away from you, you know. So, and those are little things when they're small. But as they get older, the fears become a bit more deeper. So it's not just, you know, a fear of something. It becomes an emotional fear as well. And that's where we need to be so careful with our teenagers.
When we're observing them. Sorry, sister, I have to interrupt you now. We're going to be breaking for an ad. Please, listeners, do call us on 011-854-1548 if there's anything you'd like to discuss. After the break, we will be speaking to Sister Zakira Mohammed, who is an educational psychologist and former educator. So she can really relate to a lot of the problems that educators face when children, you know, are suffering from anxiety and fear. So please stay close to Radio Islam International. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International and Simulcast on Sirius FM. This morning we're talking about helping children overcome their fears. Before the break, we were speaking to Sister Shaista Ibrahim, who is a life coach and motivational speaker from Benoni. She's still online with us. And now after the break, we'll be speaking to Sister Zakira Mohammed. Zakira is an educational psychologist and qualified educator. She runs her own practice and she works for a non-profit organization called, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Harambee Youth Employment Accelerator. She was also a lecturer at the South African College for Applied Psychology and she's based in Seraldine. Welcome to Radio Islam International, Sister Zakira.
Zakira, for having me.
Ameen.
Bibi Aisha, I have to just mention that I did miss your first half of the show, so I may be repeating what Shaista has said.
Okay, not a problem at all. Basically, what I need to ask you is, in the first half of the show, Sister Shaista is still online with us. We spoke about possible fears that young children and teenagers may be experiencing, especially in today's day and age, and the symptoms, so bedwetting, nail biting, being rebellious, not performing well in school in Madrid, are the basic symptoms and the basic causes of fears. So what I would like to ask you, as an educational psychologist, do children mirror their parents' fears?
So children are they pick up things very quickly. So yes, there are a lot of the times where children do, they sometimes, like for example, I'll give you an example. I had a very big fear of dogs, and my kids don't. They love them. They love them. They absolutely love them. So it depends how a parent handles their own fears. There are a lot of the times where I see parents bringing in the children for the children have certain fears or certain anxieties, and it's usually stemming from the parents themselves. And when you're in the therapy room, the child seems fine, but you can see the fear, the anxiety of the parent.
Interesting.
And then we say, again, you know, the parent needs to manage their own fears as well before. You know, not before coming, but they have to manage their own fears so that the child can handle their fears effectively.
Because just like Shaisa said, also the fear of dogs, so it's very funny or interesting that you brought it up as well. But obviously when children see their parents' body language as well, they pick that up. They pick up on that.
Gee, definitely. Like my parents has a very big fear of dogs, so I had a very big fear of dogs. I had to confront this fear. One day it was so that I was in therapy and one of my patients came with this big Rottweiler and she refused to let go of this dog. So she brought it into the therapy room. Now I have this fear and I have to confront my fear head on. Okay, I don't suggest as a therapist you bring the child's biggest fear into right there in front of them and say, yeah, confront it. That doesn't work.
Mm.
You do it in small steps. You do it slowly, in small steps, at their pace and with their consent and permission. But it also doesn't mean that you avoid their fears. Because when you're avoiding their fears, you are actually making it much bigger. So we don't say, okay, my child is scared of this, so we don't ever go to this place. We avoid it at all costs. That doesn't work. That makes the thing, it heightens their fear. So what we do in therapy is we do exposure therapy. What I do, is called something called cognitive behavior therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So cognitive behavior therapy is basically we challenge the way a person thinks and behaves. So we expose them, but we expose them to small, small things. So while we're on the thing of a dog, we just take you through it. So you don't say, okay, big dog, here, go, be brave. That's the worst thing you can ever do to a child. So I think what we do in therapy, basically, we do a little, we go through with the child, like just say it's a fear of a dog. We ask them what's acceptable, maybe looking at pictures of a dog, looking through a window at a dog, looking in at a gating crate in a dog. In those steps, you can stay at one step for a while, but because you have to wait until the child is ready. You can't expose them too much too quickly. It will create the fear. It will make the fear worse and heighten.
Okay, now before we even go further, I would just like to ask both the sisters, you both can, you know, talk about this a little bit. When it comes to, you know, going for therapy, at what point should a child go and see a psychologist? Because again, with regards to the community, is there still a stigma when someone is still going to see a psychologist? Because the end result is you want your child to get better. So you need to do what it takes. And, you know, again, how is the response generally with the public when they are asked or somebody has advised them that go and see a psychologist? Because I don't think what we're doing at home is working. We need expert help. Sister Zakira?
So when you fear of something is interfering with a child's functioning. Let's take it for example. If they have a fear of dogs, they don't want to go to
the... Let's use another example. I think we've done the dog example too much now. Let's say maybe exam stress or, you know...
Your line is very unclear, baby Aisha. I'm struggling to hear you.
Okay. Our engineer is going to be singing to that right now. Okay, let's see what we can do. Okay, say like an example, like an exam stress, you know, like this phobia for exams. Okay, I won't say phobia, let's say fear for exams.
Okay, so this is when a child is making... So usually what I see in my practice a lot is when a child has stress over exams or test anxiety, they blank out. Sometimes it comes into physical conditions like stomach aches, headaches, nausea, all of those, so it's psychosomatic condition. So the doctor has cleared them, there's nothing wrong, but your child all of a sudden developing headaches, stomach aches, they're throwing up, and when they're in the exam, they're freezing, they're going blank. I usually explain to a child, when a child is in the therapy with me, I usually explain to them, you know, when you go blank, it's your body protecting you, it's your mind protecting you. So your worry becomes anxiety, and it's heightened to such a level that it sort of rings like an alarm bell. And your mind says, I have to protect you. And what it does, it creates the defenses, which means then you go blank in an exam. When that's happening, it means that your child, or it's happening far more often than not, it means that your child needs help and professional help. Because it is interfering with their academic function.
Yes, yes. Okay, Sister Shaista, have you experienced this, that, you know, where do you still feel that sometimes parents feel that, you know, we can help, you know, deal with this problem? Or, you know, are people now reaching out and realizing that, you know, we can't deal with these fears on our own as parents or caregivers? We need outside help. And are people coming, you know, to professionals and getting that assistance?
Yasha, I would love to answer.
Okay, like, are they getting assistance? What can you say? Okay, Ziya's helping us with the sound. I think let's just take a quick break and let's see what we can do. Assalamu alaikum. We do apologize for some technical errors here with both our guests. Unfortunately, we're having a bit of technical errors here. We cannot hear them too clearly. Sister Shaista, can you hear me better now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Better.
Have you noticed there's been a difference where, you know, parents or caregivers, even educators, are seeking outside help when you feel that I cannot help this child on my own now, I need more guidance myself? Has that been happening now?
Absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, parents are not equipped completely to be able to help a child. It's a natural instinct for parents to eventually get irritated or frustrated. You know, sometimes parents have more than one child and they have different needs, so it's almost dividing your time. A parent, you know, also give back what they've been taught by their parents. And their parents are like kind of firm with them and said, you know, then they, you just carry on with it and just be a man or be brave or, you know, that kind of thing. Then they don't know any better, and that's how they would probably handle their kids. So, yes, I think it's extremely important to get professional help, because people who've learned how to deal with kids would go about it the right way. They go about it doing it, you know, like concept of that, you know, very slowly, baby steps, you've got to learn, trust. You know, and these days, there are so many processes, there are so many techniques, there are so many ways that we can access the subconscious, we can actually help children to, you know, to overcome the fears in a very safe environment. Obviously, you have to build a rapport with the kids, you have to make them feel comfortable, you've got to win their trust, you've got to be fun, you've got to be spontaneous, you've got to listen to them, and as you know, a trained psychologist or coach or you know a professional, you obviously know how to deal with kids. I absolutely believe that if parents can't do it, and again, the more you leave it, the bigger it becomes. The more you have
definitely.
To deal with, the more you know the problem exacerbates. And then you not only have one issue to deal with, then there's a whole all the side effects of that particular fear and anxiety.
And that brings me to my next question, which I'm going to direct to Sister Zakira, right? Again, what happens when we do not assist our children with overcoming their childhood fears?
So then what happens is it could lead to a disorder. Not in all cases, but in some cases. So, for example, if a child who refuses to socialize because they fear that people are going to laugh at them, they're going to be embarrassed, teased, whatever it is, what then happens, it may lead to social anxiety disorder. Then your child is not able to make friends and cannot socialize out of the house, which obviously impedes their functioning. If a child has, for example, test anxiety, so when it comes to exams, they keep, so I think first, Bibi Aisha, before I even say what would lead to it, first we need to understand that certain fears are normal, but when it impedes the functioning, it becomes abnormal and needs help. So when it's troubling a child a lot, it's something that they're worrying about the future, they're worrying, consistently worrying about, and it's not helping them functioning normally, they need help. And if you do not get them the help, I think we need to take away the stigma of saying, you know what, going to a psychologist, because I see it a lot. Going to a psychologist is for mad people. I had a child whose parents basically forced them into therapy, and the child didn't want to come because he heard that being in the, coming to a psychologist is only for mad people. And, you know, I just sit and actually talk through that, and it's not. It's the same way when we are sick, we go to a doctor. We get treatment from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that when we have issues, mental health issues, we don't want to seek that help? I think that's the first step.
Take away
the stigma and make it normal. Let's not say, oh, you know, you're going to a psychologist, there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. It's that we all have challenges in life that sometimes we need a little bit of assistance with, and that's what it is to come to a psychologist. So when, if you do not get that, if you do not take away the stigma, you do not get that help, you may be causing your child lots of problems for the future. So a fear which leads to anxiety could then become bigger and could impede their functioning in various areas. So we don't want that to be happening. We want our children to be able to go to school, be happy about going to school. When it's exam time, not worry weeks in advance, I've got a test, and on that day, they've got headaches, they've got stomach aches, they're not eating, they're not sleeping well. That's not normal. It's not allowing them to live a proper lifestyle. We need to make sure that we get our child the best help possible.
Most definitely. And I think very, very important, you know, both the ladies, you're going to just share this with us. You know, advice to the person that's listening, you know, to our young listeners that are going through anything that's difficult right now, right? I'm going to start off with you, Sister Shaista. What would you say to somebody who is going through some sense of fear? It could be of bullying, it could be of rejection in the sense that you're not accepted in a particular peer group, you're not coping at school, whatever that fear is. What would you like to say to that person?
Okay, so it's important, I think, to build a child's self-confidence, because when they feel they're not accepted, and school has become a huge problem for certain kids these days when it comes to peer pressure or making friends or just being apparently in the right crowd, having the right school bag, having, you know, all of these kind of things. It kind of makes a child feel unworthy. Their self-confidence takes a little dip, their self-worth.
Yes.
So I think when it comes to those kind of issues, parents need to build each child according to their strength.
Okay, but what I want to ask you, Sister, sorry to interrupt you there. to the person that's listening in right now, that's going through some fear, say it could be a teenager, it could be a young boy, a young girl, what would you like to say to that person right now? What would you like to say to this child that is experiencing fear right now?
Yes, that it's absolutely normal. It's part of life. Fears are there that can propel us in the right direction. If we didn't have any fear, we wouldn't know our strength. So whatever you're going through now, it's okay to feel it. It's okay to allow it, but it's within you, but it's not okay that we let it be and continue for as long as possible. So I'm still proud of you. I still love you. I still think you're amazing. And even though you have this fear, let's look at all your strengths that you have. Let's look at everything else that's so good of you, in you. Let's look at everything that you can do amazingly well. And if you concentrate on those little things and you remind them of all that they're good in, then the little fears actually become little. And it's not really, this thing is overtaking my life because I'm so hopeless, I'm horrible, I'm useless. You know, it's about, okay, so I'm human and I'm allowed to have fears. And parents need to tell the kids that they have fears too, that they still have fears.
Exactly.
I mean, public speaking, you're so good at this. You're like you in the public eye, so you're always, on central stage and all of that. But public speaking is almost, statistically, almost 88% of the world
afraid of public speaking.
Publicly.
No, true. And I think I can make this confession that, it doesn't matter how many times you can be on stage, and it doesn't matter how many times I go on radio, my engineer Ziad will attest to this. Before I start speaking, I think the first thing that I always do is I do recite Ayatul Kursi, and I make dua to Allah that, Ya Allah, please help me through this, and whatever it is that I'm saying, please accept from me. So it doesn't matter how many times you can stand on stage, or this is for me, or how many times you're addressing a crowd, or you are on radio, it's normal to be nervous. Sister Zakira, I'm sure you can attest to this as well, because you've been, doing lots of presentations on TV and that as well. And that's another thing that children, they hate. I know when it comes to exam time and they need to do any oral presentations, they freeze. They have such fear for public speaking.
So some children do have fears for public speaking. Now, for us, what we need to do is then we need to realize that, with the teacher child in the fear is so intense that they can't actually get through it. Because some of us, when it's public speaking, I was like that in school. It was like you have those butterflies, nervous all the time you're there, but you get through it. Right?
Yes.
Those that feel that cannot even get up onto that, let's say, to read that speech or do that oral presentation, whatever, those are the ones that we need to get help for, because that means the anxiety is so extreme that, they're going to always be put in positions like that, and we need to help them to assist them. Now, we're not saying they need to become the best public speaker of the year, but yes, to be able to get through those things. That's where we actually get them into therapy to help them. We work through their fear, and we take it through a step-by-step process. As I mentioned earlier, we don't say, okay, from now on, never do speeches. When it's speech time, we go to the teacher, no, my child can't, no. And then the next year, and the next year, and the next year. No, we take it bit by bit. But so initially, when the anxiety is so strong, what we may say is, will it be okay for maybe you initially first to do the speech with the teacher and one or two other people? Then we increase the group. Then we increase it. Eventually, we expose this child, and then we realize this fear isn't as bad as I thought it was. It's not as bad.
Yes.
But now to say my child can never do it, what are we doing? We are harming the child more than we are helping the child.
No, definitely. I think also a reminder to educators that when it does come to make, an assignment or something that requires an oral presentation, also be sensitive to the children. Like we said, not all children are eager to stand in front. We don't know what fear they have. So, again, a reminder to myself and to my colleagues out there, that show that sensitivity, that every child has this ability. Just maybe your approach to their child to get the best out of him or her.
I'd like to add something in,
quickly.
Every parent wants a perfect child, or you want a child to be as perfect as possible.
Yes.
Because it's a reflection of you as a parent. I've actually brought my child up well. They did well at school, alhamdulillah. They did well at madrasa. As parents, we actually feel good when our kids turn out okay. And that's a lot of putting pressure on kids as well. So, one thing is parents need to accept that my child's never going to be perfect. And fears are a part of not being perfect and a part of being human. I mean, ask any mother who's cooking, five chicken biryani, eat, example. I mean, that's a fear.
It's normal.
You like it.
Yes.
It's going to be right, the color. You know, so we have to realize that there are going to be small fears, there are big fears, there are, you know, every day it's a new, going for the interview, starting a new job, starting, you know, adversity, going to a new school. Like, every single thing we do is a fear.
Most definitely.
It's a small one. Or a big one, but it's something that propels us to actually, you know, look at ourselves, deal with our strengths, and say, you know, I got this.
Okay, sister, we have to cut you short now, but we need to round off now. Can you please just share with us your contact details, Sister Shaista?
Yes,
Jazakallah
for that. It's 084-421-2443. So they can contact me for any appointments, coaching, the body talk as well.
Okay.
I mean, so they can just, for whatever you
Shukran.
Do, whatever. Yeah.
Shukran. Jazakallah so much for joining us, you know, on the show today. Sister Zakira, who is our educational psychologist, like we said, she's based in Sarojin. Quickly, your advice to the people, to children that are listening in. Quick. We're going to try and do this in 30 seconds, and you're going to please share with us your contact details.
All right, so if you are experiencing any fear, it's okay. What you should do is you should actually speak to someone about it. Don't hide it, don't keep it in, and try and let us help you to the best of your ability, to become the best person you can possibly be. My contact details is, you can visit my website, it's www.zakira, so ZAAKIR.com, or my cell phone number is 083-7755-166, and I'm based in Johannesburg, in Sarajevo.
Jazakumullah khair, and sister, I look forward to chatting to you again here on Youth Talk, and both you ladies keep up with the sterling work you are doing in educating and empowering our future generation. Alhamdulillah.
Pleasure.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi. And before we round up, again, apologies for the technical problems that we've been experiencing this morning. Inshallah, hopefully by next week you'll be much better. Next week we're going to be talking about something that's very important. Again, it's a reminder to us as adults as well as to children. Safety at home. You know, with winter approaching, with load shedding that we're going through, being around electricity, just safety around electrical appliances, safety at home. And so those are the topics or the issues that we'll be discussing next week. I look forward to speaking to you on behalf of myself and my engineer, Ziad. We wish you a good week ahead. Please remember us in your du'as, and may Allah make it easy for everybody. To the children that are writing assessments, may Allah make it easy for you, increase your knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.